Well, you've probably noticed that I've started doing the handouts again. And at the same time, I want to try and coordinate it with what's up on the screen. And so I'm doing this for the first time, so I hope I'm not doing too much here, and hopefully it'll work out for you, and I'll try and improve it as time goes along. What is success? Well, whatever your definition is, I'd encourage you to apply what I give you today to that definition. Apply it to marriage, to business, whatever. But I primarily want to apply it to the church, and in particular, church growth. Success begins with how we live daily, because no one hands us success. Expecting to be handed success is like expecting you to go to bed one night and the next morning you've lost all the weight that you want to lose. It doesn't happen that way. Most people will only dream or talk about success. And dreaming and talking are necessary. In fact, I want to talk about the dreaming part today. But they are not the only steps. Some people think that it's really nothing more than natural talent. Some people are just successful because they've got the talent for it. Or others think that, well, it's just inherited. But seeing it in those ways will unnecessarily hamper us from reaching that success. Success is growing daily. It's a daily thing. Again, what I am today, if I am successful today, is because of what I've been doing every day for years previous. Success is not waiting for inspiration. Like, I'll just sit here and suddenly the inspiration to be successful or the tools for being successful will suddenly appear to me. Jerry West, a well-known basketball player back when I was a teenager, said, "You can't get much done in life if you only work on the days when you feel good." That would be like a mother with children at home who says, "I'm only going to mother if I feel good today." No. She has to do it regardless of how she feels. That'd be like a soldier out on the battlefield saying, "I'm not going to fight today unless I feel good." Well, when the bullets start whizzing by, he'll start feeling like fighting real quick. It doesn't matter really how we feel, but successful people are self-motivated. They have to be, regardless of how they feel. Success is sacrificing pleasure today for work. Paul brought this up in 1 Timothy chapter 5 when he was talking about certain widows in the church. And he said that some of them live in pleasure, and while they do, they're dead, even though they're living. 1 Timothy 5:6. Success is thinking big. Or I guess I need to give that one there. See, that's where I'm not following my notes exactly in your notes. But there is a time for pleasure, and there is a time for work. In the spirit of Solomon's wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Success is thinking big. As Paul noted in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, about verses 6 and 7, you know, you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You dream small, you achieve small. You dream big, you achieve big. Success is prioritizing. In Matthew chapter 6, right in the middle of the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us all about prioritizing when he said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." There are just some things in life that come first, and some that come second, some third, and so on. And if I want to be successful first in the eyes of the Spirit, then I have to prioritize the way He teaches in the Word. And Matthew 6:33 shows us what is important. Henry Kaiser, the founder of Kaiser Aluminum and Kaiser Permanente Healthcare, said, "Every minute spent in planning will save you 2 in execution. So yes, dream. But then you got to get to the part of execution." But success eludes most people, because many people do not ever take the time to discover why God put them on this planet. Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? That's obvious to me from the funerals I do. In comparison to the funerals for people of the world and for Christians. When I just get a call from a funeral home because a family does not, they're not church members anywhere, so they don't have a preacher who can do their sermon or a funeral for them. And then I go interview the family and talk about the individual who's died and what they want me to say, and I try and work that in with Scripture and so on. And as I just interview them about this person who has gone on, 2 things are being revealed to me. Number one, about the person who died and what their priorities were, what was important to them, as well as to the people left behind by what they're saying to me was important to them about that person. And then when I interview a family concerning the death of a Christian, what a difference. I wish you could be with me when I'm doing those 2 different situations. Same thing with weddings. You discover really fast that some people understand the God thing and some just don't. And it matters in how they lived and how they influenced people. So then, I'd encourage you to search the Scriptures daily. Myself and the elders are going through the congregation, teaching a Bible lesson right now, as well as asking some questions. And the main thing that we're getting down to is showing you some passages of Scripture that show you where success comes from. And we've just started this, so we've only gotten to a few families, but in time we'll try and get to everyone. And I hope that you will get these passages of Scripture that we're trying to give to you into your hearts, as I've got them into mine, because it tells me where success is and where it comes from. More about that later when I get into your home. All right. We need to be optimistic. I like this poem here. "Behind me is infinite power. Before me is endless possibility. Around me is boundless opportunity. Why should I fear?" Most people just do not see the power that is available to them by knowing God. Knowing Him who created yesterday and today and holds tomorrow in His hands. If I don't know Him and don't understand what He has done, then I will not have a clue as to the immense power that is available to me. Some people see no possibilities in their future, not believing just what God is capable of doing. And some see no opportunities. Sometimes for some people, opportunity just has to come up to them and slap them in the face a few times. But we shouldn't have to have that happen. There's opportunities all around us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul showed the possibilities and capabilities and power and everything that was just available to him, because he had his eyes open to those things. And there he said in verses 21 through 23, "Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Do we understand what Paul said is available to us as far as opportunities and possibilities and power are concerned? And he's saying it's limitless. Therefore, in the church, we should not limit ourselves in our thinking or in the other areas of life in which you may choose to apply these things. But sadly, for a lot of people, fear and pessimism rules and runs their lives. They can think of every reason why they will fail, and then when they do, they will see it not as fulfillment of a self-made prophecy, but they'll see it as proof of their fear and cynicism. "See, I told you it wouldn't work." To their way of thinking, they either don't have enough money, the government's against them, their skin's not the right color, they're too tall, they're too short, their health is bad, they're not smart enough, they're too old, too young, who knows? But they'll find an excuse why they shouldn't succeed, especially in matters of the church. So we need to be optimistic. Secondly, we have to help others and to let others help us. Help and be helped. We need the help of others and we need to help others. We build on the work of others and others build on our work. I mean, it's that way in every part of life. Look at us as a nation. We didn't just come into this land and there was nothing here, and then we made everything we see today. No, previous generations have put in the government, put in the roads, the whole infrastructure, everything that's needed that we enjoy today, and we're improving on it, or sometimes scrapping things and putting new things on, or whatever we do, and then a generation after us is going to build on what we've done. And Jesus showed in John chapter 4 that it's the same way in the church. We simply build on the work of others. John 4:38. Jesus said, "I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Well, we'll just look at this congregation right here. Here we are in the year 2009. And how many of us were here when this congregation started? I know I wasn't. In fact, this congregation, the church here was at least 30 years old by the time I was born. And of course, I'm only 33 years old. But, you know, I've built upon, as far as being a preacher here, I've built upon the work of preachers who've gone before me. And I know when I'm gone, preachers after me will build on my work. Therefore, in the church, we need to focus on people. If I'm here to help people and to be helped, I have to focus on people. That's what it's all about. Even if you're talking about being successful in something else, business or whatever it is you want to apply these things to, we're still talking about people. Secondly, you know, you just have to be likable. And that's not always easy for us, is it? And some of us have a more difficult time, perhaps, than others. But we have to work on being likable. Thirdly, we need to show others that we care. Is that not a biblical message? Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then in John chapter 13, he brought it up another level and said that we're to love others as he loved us. Man, if that's not showing others that we care, then I don't know how else to define it. Number four, as much as possible, remember people's names. Oh, but Don, I just can't do that. I can't remember people's names. But there's other things in life somehow we manage to remember. And there's a lot of tricks you can use to do that. The thing that I do, when I talk to someone, I just keep saying their name over and over again. Well, John, it's good to meet you. Where are you from, John? Well, Arizona. Well, where in Arizona are you from, John? You can just go on and on like that. Pretty soon, just saying that person's name, it helps us cement it in you. I know I'm impressed when somebody remembers my name. And if I want to be successful with people, I need to do what I can to try and remember people's names. And that means also to take my time with people. Number five. Is that not what love is? If I'm going to love you, I need to give you quality time. I understand that. But you know something? Sometimes quality time comes in quantity. I mean, think about it with your kids. Okay, son, I'm going to give you 5 minutes today, but they're going to be a good 5 minutes. Would he be happy with that? No. He needs some time. And I need to be generous, number six, with people. What a difference that makes in the church when we're generous with one another. Number three, know the secrets. And really, there are no secrets. But people always want to believe that there's got to be a secret to success. So if we want to say that there are, then here's what ought to be some. And that is that it's not reserved for the elite. Listen to ourselves talk. And so much of what we say is we reserve success for an elite group of people. Number two, it's not for the lucky. Have you noticed that the word luck doesn't appear in the Bible? But God bless you does, or grace and peace be upon you, you will find in Scripture. At the beginning of Paul's letters, I believe every single one, he begins not with good luck, brethren, but he says grace and mercy, or grace and peace be upon you. So it's walking in God's grace and peace daily that makes a difference. Third, life becomes better when you become better. In our thinking, in the way we feel, things on the inside. Number four, sacrifice leads to success. Can you name me someone more successful than Jesus Christ? And yet, what is it that the Bible pinpoints about him more than anything else? It's the death of Jesus Christ. He sacrificed himself. And now, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. And at his knee, every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. Wow, I want that kind of success. Not that I want people to confess that I'm Lord, but I want to follow in his steps as much as we're able to. Success comes in steps, not leaps and bounds. You know, it's funny when you listen to the news and they'll talk about someone who was an overnight success. And you ask them, and every single one of them will deny it. Now, maybe we discovered them overnight, but they spent years learning how to perfect playing that instrument or excelling at that sport or whatever it is. They've spent years and hours and sweat and blood and tears that we can't even probably imagine unless we've also done the same thing. Success tomorrow can be hampered by yesterday's or today's success. Because now I rest on my successes, or I think that what made me successful today is what will make me successful tomorrow, and that's not necessarily the case. Number 7, advice does not work until you do. Man, there's a lot of good advice, and of course I don't really want to call what's in the Bible advice because it seems to be stronger than that, but just bear with me for a moment here. There's the Bible. You probably have it on your lap right now. And look at the advice that's in there about how to live successfully, especially in the book of Proverbs. Well, what good does all that stuff do, even when I get into my head, unless I start doing what it says? So, opportunities surround us. And again, this is where we need to see the example of church work. In John 4, again, this time verse 35, Jesus said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And tonight, I want to talk about how to take advantage of that, so please come. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul said, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." So he recognized there's opportunity, but there's problems too. And he wanted the brethren's prayers in that regard. "Therefore, let us do what we can to improve rather than just simply always disapproving." How can I improve the lives of the people around me instead of just simply saying, well, everything they do is wrong? I need to do what needs to be done rather than just simply talking about it. How many times have you heard someone say, or maybe even heard said it yourself, you know, somebody needs to do something about that? Well, why is somebody always another body other than the somebody who's making that statement? Sometimes we just can't do something about it. That's true. Maybe there's something that lacks on our part. But what we can do, we ought to do. "Let us believe like the 2 spies and not disbelieve like the 10 spies. You know, in the book of Numbers. Boy, that disbelief kept them in the wilderness for 4 decades. And they all died. But the 2 succeeded by being able to enter into the new land. Number 4, we have to be encouragers rather than discouragers. Number 5, get in the middle of the action instead of being on the sidelines. And granted, age and different things may keep us from being as much of the action as we want to be, but be in there as much as you can. Go the right way rather than just simply avoiding the wrong way. When I think about people who just do nothing but try to avoid the bad, but don't get involved in doing the good, it's like a gardener who goes out into his garden, gets all the weeds out, keeps all the varmints and pests away, but doesn't plant any seed in it. So you go out there and you can say, man, that's a nice looking plot of ground there. It looks smooth. I don't see it filled with a bunch of rocks. I don't see weeds, and that's great. I can tell that animals don't get into it. That's wonderful, but why do you have a piece of dirt there? It's to grow something. And number 9, shine a light rather than just simply cursing the darkness. Yes, there's darkness. And yes, we have to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians chapter 3. But on the other hand, I'm here to shine a light. All right. Smallness versus greatness. If you don't have a dream, what do? Follow someone who does. Listen to this. Do more than exist, live. Do more than touch, feel. Do more than look, observe. Do more than read, absorb. Do more than hear, listen. Do more than listen, understand. Do more than think, reflect. Do more than just talk, say something. The director of my preaching school, Brother Hugh Shiram, taught one of our speech classes, and he said to us, he said, "Men, if you speak to 100 people for 30 minutes, you're using up 100 man hours." Wow, that, I don't know why, but that just really hit me hard. And I thought, wow, I can't get up in front of a congregation and waste their time. I need to have something to say. I need to show that life is more than just sitting here. It's making something of our lives. It's easier to sell for average than strive for achievement. It's easier to be satisfied with complacency than stirred with compassion. It's easier to be skeptical than successful. It's easier to question than conquer. It's easier to rationalize your disappointments than realize your dreams. It's easier to belch the bologna than bring home the bacon. Ted Williams said, "I was a guy who practiced until the blisters bled and then practiced some more. When I was a kid, I'd carried my bat to class with me. I'd run a buddy's newspaper route if I could get him to shag flies for me. When I played for San Diego, I paid kids to shag flies on my days off." John Wesley, in a poem called All You Can, said, "Do all you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Therefore, get up, get out, and get success." Martin Luther King, he said, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love." And is that not what Jesus taught us? He said in Mark chapter 10, that among the Gentiles, you know, it's true that those who are great are those who are served. But in verse 45, he said that he was one who was among them who served. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The Son of God said that. So who am I to think that you're supposed to be serving me? No, I'm supposed to be serving you. And you're supposed to be thinking the same way. Who am I to think he's supposed to be serving me? I'm supposed to be serving him. So you don't need wealth to serve. You don't need health to serve. And I'll tell you the best example of that is Sister Nancy Henshaw. Now, here's a woman who can't do anything with her body. I mean, the only thing she can do is talk to you. If anybody has any reason to complain in this world, it's Nancy Henshaw. But she doesn't do it. You go to her house thinking that you're going to go there to encourage her and benefit her by being there, and you end up walking away thinking, she blessed me. What a woman. Dreams, then, can be good or bad. It really comes down to what we do with them. God calls us to successful living. Do you want a better world? Do you want a better church? Then let your success go to your heart and not your head, which so often ruins us, as you probably know. And finally, let me say this, that the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. That's what becoming a Christian, really the first thing we can do to be successful, is all about. Humbling myself before the great God of heaven. And if I need to be exalted, believe me, He can do it. And He can do it in ways that I never would have imagined. Let God bless you today by humbling yourself before Him, by submitting to Him, by being immersed in water, that He might forgive you of all of your sins. Won't you come forward now as we stand and sing?